Welcome back, folks, to this edition of the Hagmann and the Hagmann Report. We are about ready to be joined by George Webb. He's got a very he's famous on the internet. He's got a very wildly popular YouTube channel and YouTube following. It began, I think, 214 days ago with an entry, "Where in the World?" or "Where is Eric Braverman?" And it is expanded into areas covering the Awan brothers. We've talked about the Awan brothers, covering the Seth Rich homicide. We've talked about that. Rat lines. He's out in the field, and it's very interesting how he does his investigations. He'll take, in real time, he'll show you, for example, the other day, yesterday or the day before, he goes to numerous locations to locate individuals, people. And it's very interesting. And he shows, through the use of his camera, he shows his investigative results. By the way, just want to mention portions of this episode brought to you by healthmasters.com. That's healthmasters.com. Doug and the number 5 is a coupon code for 5% off. Shop at healthmasters.com for all of your health needs. If nothing else, folks, get the ultimate multiple. But I shop there often because I do feel better from Health Masters. But moving along here, Eric Braverman is where George Webb started. And for those of you who don't know who Eric Braverman is, Eric Braverman is the former Clinton Foundation CEO who hasn't been seen or heard from in quite some time. Very interesting set of circumstances. And of course, Braverman is, I believe he's got a husband in New York City. But aside from that, the investigation by George Webb moved on to the Awan brothers and points in between. And pretty soon in fact, George Webb, I believe, was one of the first, if not the first, to discuss the 5 Awan brothers, A-W-A-N brothers, and their 2 wives in the congressional, the 20 burglaries, in the congressional offices. And really at the heart of everything here, when we come down to the wire, it's again the old story of the hack versus the leak. And it will unravel things because, the narrative of the Russian hack okay, you prove that incorrect, or if you show that incorrect, it'll really whittle down the, it'll get to the truth rather quickly. And I could go on and on and on, but there's a foundation for George Webb. We had him on, I believe it was February 26th or thereabouts, initially, and his investigation, his investigative work product has really grown since that time. And the findings, the research findings that he's done, just amazing. And he has caught the attention of numerous people. In fact, yesterday or the day before, or this week, he has been in D.C. With a number of congressional people, notifying them. Okay, Eric the Tech just said, yeah, he'll be on in about a minute. So that's pretty cool. So yeah, so we're anxious to kind of get the overview. We're going to go into this, get an overview of what he's done so far, and then work quickly to the current day, where he's at, and then also find out what we all can do, each one of us, to advance, to help him and to advance his investigation. So, we are going to skip the bottom of the hour network break. Okay. So Eric, I just want to let you know ahead of time. Let's give him the full time here. We're going to skip the bottom of the hour network break. And we do have him on the line. So with that, George Webb, internet, sleuth extraordinaire. George, how are you, sir?
Hey, great, Doug. I'm at dinner here with Dr. Jerome Corsi and Jason Goodman. You're going to have kind of all 3 of us here.
Well, hey, Dr. Corsi, it's been a while. How you doing?
I'm going to just give the phone to Dr. Corsi a second just to verify that he is still alive here in Washington, D.C.
Okay.
Hey, Doug. Doug, Jerry
hey, Dr.
Corsi.
Yeah, how you doing, Dr. Corsi? Great.
I'm great. This is great. We're having dinner tonight.
It's a pleasure to, it's a thrill to talk to you, man. It's been a while since I've seen you, but thanks for being part of the discussion. Hop in anytime.
Always my pleasure. Always my pleasure. I mean, I think last time we were together was in one of the meetings. I remember being on your show in person.
Yeah, yes, yes. It was great. It was great. You do a great job, Dr. Corsi. And
well, thanks.
Doctor.
You're very kind.
Well,
you're very kind.
I got to ask, well, what are we having tonight?
Well, it's yours. He'll figure it out. He'll figure it out.
Oh, okay. All right.
Okay, I'm going to let those two guys talk now. And
George, order me a side of wings.
Or prime rib here at Morton's on the terrace.
There you go. There you go. Now we're going to triangulate and get a drone, and it's going to just be a mess. But anyway, George, I set the foundation. Basically, you began this with, you know, where's Eric Braverman? And this has gone through the Awan brothers. I mean, you've developed this huge investigation, and you've done very well. Where do you want to start here? Because there are people at different levels of understanding and knowledge. Where do you want to start first?
Well, you know, there's a lot of competing theories and things going on right now. I mean, things are very much in flux. I'm here in D.C. I'm talking to a lot of different congressmen and senators, and, you know, things are in flux. There's a couple of alternative theories right now, and we're really trying to figure it out. I mean, there's one that Eric Braverman is the guy who did the four leaks, being DNC hacks, Podesta leaks, the DCC leaks, the Democratic Caucus leaks, which most people don't kind of forget about, and then the Clinton Foundation leaks. So there's four leaks there. Is that one leaker, or is Seth Rich a leaker, and Sean Lucas a leaker, and then Eric Braverman? The whole thing comes down to one, you know, really fundamental question. It's a leak versus a hack. If it's a Russia hack and all the CNN stuff, or is it a leak? And I got some great information from Dr. Corsi tonight about, you know, more information to support the leak scenario. And Seth Rich, and then Sean Lucas being very much a good friend of Seth Rich, and very much a part of the DNC, and being an employee of the DNC. So that was a piece I didn't have before tonight. Dr. Corsi has said he has high-level intelligence officials that are telling him that Sean Lucas was an employee of the DNC. The reason why that's important is if you are trying to get a thumb drive, and we're talking about the WikiLeaks thumb drive network now, if you're trying to get a thumb drive to Julian Assange, you might use Sean Lucas as an intermediary in that drop of the thumb drive.
All right. Now, Sean Lucas was he an attorney? He was a process server, I think, right?
He's just a process server. He wasn't an attorney or anything, but as Dr. Corsi and I both agreed, they were both ideologues. They were both kind of Bernie-crats, like I am. They both believed that Hillary had tilted the table or put her finger on the scale or however you want to say it against Bernie. They thought that was unfair. They witnessed the Get Bernie meeting of the 8th or the 7th, the 7th of February. They witnessed the chair throwing where the Hillary people threw the chairs in Las Vegas, and then they blamed it on the Bernie people. They witnessed the New York primary, I believe, of May 1st, where all the get out the vote was suppressed in New York, the primary, and they were fed up. They were fed up. So they decided to act. Now, we still don't know what days we're still trying to figure out what days the thumb drives were handed over. You know, I and that's metadata. We're looking at metadata now. We're looking at where, tracing the steps of Seth Rich and Sean Lucas to figure out the metadata.
All right. And then that makes sense because metadata does not lie. So, okay. I mean, the collective nature of it. Okay. All right. So, ultimately, resolving these questions will resolve the bigger question of hack versus leak. And now, it's my understanding you are kind of identifying the players in this and the contacts, which include but are not limited to Michael Ratner, John Jones, Gavin McFadden, who's deceased, as well as John Jones and Ratner, Craig Murray, and, of course, perhaps Eric Braverman. Now you're tossing Lucas into this, Sean Lucas, as perhaps a runner, a part of the rat line of thumb drives. Is that WikiLeaks? Okay. All right.
That's exactly correct. And what I disclosed to Dr. Corsi tonight was that I was a member of the informally was known as the WikiLeaks Network, which is an up-down network, and you don't know in a blind network, you don't know when you're passing thumb drives. You don't know anything more than your downstream and your upstream. You don't know anything more than where you're getting the thumb drive from and where you're giving it to. And you don't know what's on the thumb drive. So Kim.com is saying, oh, I'm this, you know, incredibly pivotal player. I was the participant. I was a participant of giving thumb drives to Michael Ratner, okay, in New York. I knew Michael Ratner mirrored everything that he did, mirrored everything he got on WikiLeaks to John Jones in London. I know for a fact that Gavin McFadden got all his information from John Jones. He was the feed point. John Jones was the feed point. Gavin McFadden ran a journalism school every year with all the kids coming in to, can't remember the university in London. That's where they got all the kids to bring in the thumb drives. So I don't have proof that Eric Braverman went to Ratner to give the thumb drives. You got to remember there's four leaks. There's four leaks, and this is Jerome Corsi and I disagree on this. There's four leaks. There's the Democratic Caucus leak, the DCC leak. People forget about that. There is the DNC leaks. There's also the leaks from Podesta leaks, and then there's also the Clinton Foundation leaks. The one person that would have had access to all four of those bodies of information would have been Eric Braverman. Sean Lucas wouldn't have known anything about the Democratic Caucus. He wouldn't have known anything about the Podesta emails because that was not DNC. That was the, you know, Center for American Progress. And he wouldn't have known anything about the Clinton Foundation. So the one person, it could be, there's two scenarios here. One could be that there's a Seth Rich leaker and then there's a Podesta leaker and it's Fuzzy Bear and it's Cozy Bear and whatever, Happy Bear or whatever the CrowdStrike, whatever the Schumer, scenario, Schumer, Adam Schiff hoax, Russia hoax scenario. I can't remember even what they call it. Cozy Bear. Or it could be that there is one really disaffected person within the Clinton Foundation that is giving all four of these leaks, four different drops, four different thumb drives. And then the other alternative scenario is there's a Seth Rich leaker, that's one, and there's a Podesta leaker, that's two, there's a Democratic Caucus leaker, that's three, and there's a Clinton Foundation leaker, that's four, that's Eric Braverman. So we're hot on the trail. We're in pursuit. We don't know the answer, you know, and that's why I'm meeting with Jerome Corsi to try to figure this out.
Well, I think that this is of historic importance, ladies and gentlemen. Again, we're talking with George Webb, and Dr. Jerome Corsi as well is with George Webb. And, of course, a filmmaker, I think you said, or Jason, who's part of the team. I saw him on the videos. But George, let me just back up for just a second here to make this clear, just so it's clear in my mind. you're intimately familiar because you just said, and maybe I missed this, but you were part of the WikiLeaks. You were part of the WikiLeaks transfer of information, personally.
Yeah. So yes, I was. So before WikiLeaks was even formed, there was an RT network. Before RT was even formed, there was a network of getting information between New York and London. And what you would do is basically thumb drives in Central Park is what I would call it. But there were people that were not getting published in Europe that needed to be published in the United States. So thumb drives would come this way from, people writing, basically authors or dissidents coming to New York. And then there was thumb drives going the other way for mainly South American journalists that felt like, the CIA was being oppressive in South America. And this was mainly through the Czech embassy in New York. That's my experience. I don't have any more experience than that.
Okay.
But this isn't new. This isn't new. And WikiLeaks was formed after that. And thumb drive drops in Central Park are not new. and that's how it works. And, okay. I met Julian Assange in Australia in 1984 when he was a kid. And he is a piece of the puzzle, but he's not the whole puzzle. This is bigger than Julian Assange, and I'll just leave it at that.
Very good. All right. Wow. Now we've been to the people who've been following every one of your videos, and I have, and you've got a great team of citizen researchers and journalists that are helping you as well. People who have done a lot of research, and thank God for those people, and thank God for you. All right, this is to me this conversation is so big, it's huge. Do we work backwards and talk, because overlapping all of this is the Awan brothers, is the Democrat. Where are we at with, where are the Awan brothers? Have they gone back to Pakistan? Have you confirmed that, or are they still around? Or,
well, the Daily Caller reported today that they did actually go back to Pakistan. Now, we're not talking about one brother or two brothers or three brothers. We're talking about four brothers and two wives, all making $160,000 a year in the Congress, all going back to Pakistan. Now, this is a guy, Imran, the ringleader, who has threatened his stepmother with killing her family if she didn't sign over her inheritance to the Awan brothers. So this isn't a, genteel Pakistani intelligence group. This is a hardball Pakistani intelligence group. Now, these six operatives are in the United States Congress. I was, on Capitol Hill today. I went to Andre Carson's office. I went to all the different offices that employed them. 80 different Democrats employed them over the last 12 years. Mm. And these folks, Pakistani nationals, are at the highest levels, have access to the highest levels of the United States intelligence. So
brought him by Andre Carson brought him in, right, initially, or was Carson the point of contact initially?
Debbie Wasserman Schultz, and I believe before that, Anthony Weiner, when he was a congressman from 1999 to 2001, they're really Anthony's trusted staff. You'll see, if you Google WikiLeaks and you say Anthony's trusted staff, I believe that's the Awan brothers in D.C. They're sending these phones, to people, these Blackberries. What people don't realize, the members of Congress don't realize, is that these laptops, you only need one laptop in a member's office, and then the BlackBerry is thinking all the time to the laptop. So in the Daily Caller articles, if you look up Luke Rosiak and other articles, you're going to see that there's all these thin clients that they talk about. So you put one thin client in the office, you can have five or six BlackBerry's in the members' offices. You're getting all their email, getting all their discussions with their donors, all their discussions with their fundraising, all their discussions for the committee meetings. You know, they're in the agricultural meetings, they're in the Ways and Means Committee, they're in the Judiciary Committee, they're in the House, you know, Intelligence Committee. They're in the Department of Homeland Security. I mean, they, everything. You know, these BlackBerries sucked up everything. And the I was at the D.C. police headquarters today, the Capitol Police headquarters, and said, I want the police report for your arrest of the Yuan brothers. I want the descriptions of the 20 laptops and the 20 BlackBerries that I believe are on the evidence list. I don't want, I don't need anything other than metadata. Just tell me what you confiscated in this robbery investigation of the U.S. Congress.
Okay.
And I mean, that is the key to the case. I mean, it's a robbery.
Did you get the information that you asked for?
No, I wanted the police captain who was, I think if people look at the, want to Google, I'm forgetting his name now, Verdant, V-E-R-D-E-R, Rosa, Verda Rosa.
Right. Yep.
He's the captain of the Capitol Police, and he was berated. If you watch this video, he is berated. He is threatened three times by Kevin Wasserman Schultz. Three times.
What the heck, George? And I know, look, we don't want to keep you from your dinner, but this is important stuff. It's day 214, part 15, I believe, right? We'll just kind of throw that in there on your just to honor you. What the heck? What happened with, what's the deal with Schultz what's the deal with Schultz on this case?
Well, she's the one who's covering this because she is the main contact working with Anthony Weiner, working with Huma Abedin, working with Jackie Speier. She's the one who's orchestrating this, giving people BlackBerries that are surreptitiously sinking. And they're really, I mean, I don't know how many members are hacked. Now, 80 members were supported by the Yuan brothers, but it could be all 400 because there's a Verizon store in the Capitol. I've been there. You can check my videos. There's an AT&T store, and they prominently display BlackBerries. Now, these aren't the General Dynamics bulletproof BlackBerries that are approved by the NSA for no hacking. These are Hillary's private, secure, quote-unquote secure BlackBerries from Anthony Weiner's trusted, quote-unquote trusted staff.
Right.
And this is really, I mean, and people, most people don't think, oh, that's not so bad. You know, they're going to find out about an agricultural deal or whatever. No. Andre Carson from Indianapolis, the representative from Indianapolis, sits on the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence. He sits on the Department of Homeland Security Committee. He also sits on the critical subcommittee of the Emerging Threats Subcommittee. So this is where you would get a briefing on the timing of the Yemen raid.
There you go.
So you probably remember August 6, 2001, where the helicopter shot down in Afghanistan and 22 Navy SEALs die and 30 U.S. servicemen die. The worst day in history of the Afghan war in terms of casualties. If this intelligence, I mean, you probably have already, with your listeners.
That was 2011, by the way, folks. Yeah, I just wanted, you said 2001, it's 2011, but we got it, yeah.
Oh, 2011, I'm sorry, August 6, 2011, I apologize. Thank you very much, Doug, for that. But then this happened in Yemen, where they knew they were coming. Now, we have Pakistani nationals making $160,000 a year. Now, this is six people making $160,000 a year. Now, remember, they've threatened their stepmother with their, And these are the people that have access to our highest levels. I mean, they're working for Andre Carson. They are working on the Emerging Threat Subcommittee. That is a clear and present danger. So what I, if to U.S. servicemen now, Doug, now, not like, I'm not going back to Hillary Clinton's time as Secretary of State. I'm talking about right now. Debbie Wasserman Schultz is still contracting with Imran Awan as a contractor. These folks still have access to information on Capitol Hill. I know this sounds unbelievable, but it's true. And yeah, I've walked around and I've talked to members and said, it's an awareness campaign for me. I'm going around to different members saying, do you realize that these six nationals that have fled to Pakistan still are connected, still have a pipeline into the United States Congress?
Hmm. Okay. And so just for the people who aren't up to speed, George, take a moment, Greg, grab a sip of coffee or whatever, or a drink.
Sure.
Just for the people who aren't up to speed, we're talking with George Webb, his YouTube channel, George Webb. You can search. In fact, we've got a link to his YouTube channel. He's on day 214. Dot 13, I think, or 14, on this investigation. He began with, where is Eric Braverman? Eric Braverman, of course, being the former CEO of the Clinton Foundation. That investigation progressed into the Awan brothers, four brothers, two wives, working as staffers, IT staffers for the people for a number of congressional Democratic Congress people, including Andre Carson and others on sitting on high committees. He's found the fact that he connected that with the office break-ins, the 20 burglaries of the offices, which the equipment was taken from the offices. He found other businesses associated with the Awan brothers, including car dealerships that could be used as proprietaries or fronts for the CIA, for example, and a number of things. He also found a situation where one of the relatives, the stepmother or mother-in-law, I believe it is, of the Awan brothers, was being held captive in a house in Virginia. I know this sounds absolutely insane, but I urge you to go through the investigative research of George Webb to understand just how deep this goes. Now we've got these Pakistani people working inside our Congress, inside our congressional building for Democrats, on the highest and most sensitive committees, perhaps leaking, providing information to sources elsewhere, enemies perhaps, most likely. And liken that, or I shouldn't say liken that, think about that in the context of the downing of Extortion 17, the 22 Navy SEALs, August 6, 2011. Could there be some connection there? And then, of course, that goes into the WikiLeaks situation. The hack versus leaks, and then not only Eric Braverman, but you enter Sean Lucas, enter the names I talked about before, Michael Ratner, John Jones, Gavin McFadden, Craig Murray, and again, Eric Braverman. So all of this is tied up, and this is the path of investigation. As shotgun as I did it, and really kind of cumbersome as I did it, this is what George Webb is on. And of course now, of late, here, and he got into this, what, a month or two ago, Seth Rich, that homicide. And for all the people calling this a conspiracy theory, what George Webb has found is suggestive evidence that, no, this is not a conspiracy theory. This could very well be the difference between a hack versus a leak, and if it is shown to be a leak, will ultimately blow out of the water any allegations of Russian hacking with the DNC, and he named four different hacks. But you can get into that yourself. So this is where we're at. So if it sounds kind of like my goodness, what is she talking about? What are we talking about? Well, you've got to get the background from Georgia's University of Work Product. And now he's talking as we sit today. And I didn't know this. He was part of the leak system. Maybe that's not the right word, but part of the system. So he knows the inner workings of how this works. And he's, of course, being able to apply it to today. Now he's sitting with Jerome Corsi in Washington, D.C., in our nation's capital. And here we have it. And, of course, in all of its glory, shall we say. George, I hope I did you okay with that.
That was a good summary. So the beautiful, thank you so much. The beautiful part about all this is that every person that you meet along the way helps. Yes, Dr. Corsi is tremendous. You know, you gain 50 yards when you throw the ball to him. But everybody who comes to the website helps with Google searches and so forth. And it's an open source media project that you've come to the channel and people send me leads. I get leads, of course I get leads from intelligence sources. Of course I get help from NYPD, ex-NYPD, ex-retired FBI and current FBI through proxies. But also open media, open source research is every bit, if not more powerful. So I would just encourage everybody to go to the channel help in any way you can. So I'm gonna embarrass Dr. Corsi here and just say good night. My steak is here, and I'm gonna just have Dr. Corsi say good night.
All right. Thank you, George, for checking in with us.
How are you?
Dr. Corsi, is that you? Yes.
Yes, me right here.
All right.
I follow next week. We're going to do a lot of Infowars.com expose of Seth the Rich murder, and we're going to break open the case of this whole Russian collusion nonsense.
Yep.
And once it's broken open, the entire Democratic National Party establishment is going to come crashing down.
I love it. And you're the guy to do it. Go ahead.
Well, these guys are good, too. But, you know, we're going to start it next week, and we're going to be doing a lot of it in InfoWars, and we're going to make sure the truth is brought to the American people, the perversion and the corruption of the Democratic Party, and the need to support Donald Trump and this Russian nonsense we got to get rid of. It's all a lie. There's no evidence. And it's going to turn back on Hillary and Podesta, who are the two who are really in the back pocket of Russia all along.
Wow. Okay. Well, we're going to be, we will be promoting your appearance on InfoWars. We'll be promoting InfoWars because, your investigative work product as well is always spot on, and we really appreciate it. Dr. Corsi.
Well, it's always a great pleasure to be with you, and I strongly support your efforts. You've been a stalwart for years, and I've always supported what you've done. God bless you, and thank you very much.
Hey, have a great dinner, both of you, all three of you, that is. God bless you, and we'll be praying for you. Order a dessert on us. All right. Wow. Now, let me tell you something, guys and ladies and Joe and Eric and John. Just wow. Think about this now. Now, this is absolute real on-the-ground newsroom, you know, the old time journalism. This is the investigative journalism that we don't have with the corporate media. You get a bunch of crap, that's polished to make it look like it's something that's believable, when in fact, this is on the ground. Look, we're eating dinner. I know for a fact, I mean, I know George's schedule today, the meeting at 7 o'clock, meeting extended, hadn't eaten, sat down to eat. Let's talk about the issues. Here's the issue. If you're catching up, just catching up to this late, you've got to go to George Webb, WEBB's channel. And I've talked to George off air, of course. You got to go to his channel and get caught up on things. Trust me when I tell you that there's a lot of information there that'll fill in these blanks. But here's the bigger thing. He referenced the homicide of Seth Rich as being a school play. Look up school play, what that represents. things are not as they appear. And of course, along with this, we can get into that. We can widen this because this exposes DynCorp. It exposes rat lines. It exposes organ harvesting, as crazy as that sounds. And I know that sounds crazy. Organ harvesting. Think about that. There's big money to be made, by the way, on organ harvesting. But here is the feet on the ground research. I guess it's safe to say this at this point, given the fact that we know that George Webb is with Jerome Corsi now in D.C., and there's been a lot of things been done. Folks, when I said new mandate, this is what I'm talking about. I'm talking about getting our hands dirty and getting in the trenches to bring you the news. And I want to thank John Robertson for setting this up. I know it was not easy, and I know, you know, you're chasing around 5-6 different people because they are on the ground doing investigations. And I'll tell you one thing. If, you know, if somebody would have called me and I'm in the middle of an investigation like George's or like Liz or like, you know, you don't have time. You don't really have time, but they made time. And I want to thank John Robertson for his efforts and thank you for listening. But the fact is this, the new mandate does, we are going to be in the trenches because the time for just sitting behind a microphone and saying, well, you know, this is a problem, that's a problem, those days are over. We must be a part of the solution. And in order to be part of the solution, we must turn over some rocks to see what's underneath those rocks. And I do know what's coming next week. I do have an idea of what's going to be said next week. And trust me when I tell you, it's not pretty. None of this is pretty. By the way, this show is 3 hours. The other 21 hours is not just, well, you know, let's do show prep, let's just look. No, no. A lot of this is talking with contacts, working things out. Where are we going to, how can we help you? What information can we provide? It takes, you know, and it takes a lot to do that. And that's why we've got a good investigative team working on our behalf. And that's why we appreciate your support. Meanwhile, as we're doing this, as we're doing what you just heard, we're smacking off the, and you can't hear this or you can't see this on Global Star, but we're smacking down the, you know, the ankle biters and the people on us and get away, you know, we got somebody by the throat. This is what we're involved in. This is what life is today. A lot different than 2012. Things are going to get very, very bad. And I wrote an article about 3 years ago, the DHS source, things are about to get ugly. Well, they're getting ugly right now. They're getting very ugly. And the closer you get to this killing, the solution of this, Seth Rich killing, the closer you get to exposing people like, well, the people on the inside who have been selling this country out bit by bit, piece by piece. The Muslim infiltration, the communist infiltration. It is a fact. It is not fiction. Muslim infiltration, communist infiltration, working together, the red and the green, working together to supply information to our enemies. Under the Obama administration, it was nothing but, it was just rife with information going out. Donald Trump gets in there, he sees this, and of course that much of the infrastructure is still in place. Why do you think we've got the problems we got right now? Why do you think we have the leaks coming out of Washington that we have? Why do you think the FBI has been compromised? Why do you think our CIA intelligence agencies are compromised or complicit in what's taking place right now?
And the leaks are a big deal.
They are.
We should touch on this a little bit. There was, from the Manchester attacks, there were intelligence leaks to the New York Times that showed classified information that the UK sent to the US. And today, the president called for a federal investigation, which I think is long overdue. He should have done this months ago, into the deeply troubling links of sensitive intelligence information, including information related to this week's suicide bombing in Manchester, England. The alleged leaks coming out of our government agencies are deeply troubling, the president said. We will get to the bottom of this because they pose a grave threat to our national security. And as I was going over this,
Wow.
Some leaks are necessary, I believe.
Well, okay, and this is something that I, let's talk about this, because I agree with you on this. I don't believe that we, as a constitutional republic, some people say we're a democracy. I understand we're not a democracy, but if that's the biggest complaint you have about a person who says, well, this is a democracy, right. Okay, come on. Okay, it's a constitutional republic, but I believe in keeping our government honest. Yes, if somebody sees something that's anti-constitutional, it is the job.
Anti-constitutional.
Yeah. Leak it.
Mm-hmm. And then, and what the professor said, they would stop sharing information with their American counterparts after photos appearing to show remnants of the bombing were published by the New York Times. And the name of the alleged bomber, the Solomon Abedi, was also published in U.S. news outlets before it was officially announced by U.K. authorities. And since this has been released, there has been some kind of agreement that they will continue to share information in the U.S. and the U.K. But, about the leaks in general. You know, if we would have had more leaks pertaining to criminal conduct and unconstitutional actions under the Obama administration, the actual scandals that the mainstream media and government covered up might have been more prevalent, not only in the media, but it might have been more, and back to George Bush's presidency, I wish, a lot more stuff on 9/11 was leaked.
Sure, why not? Yes.
There are times where leaks are necessary, but to just throw leaks out there to undermine
if it affects
the security of the administration, security of the country, or another country's security, you have to take a second look at that. What would you say about what Edward Snowden allegedly leaked? The NSA information, was that necessary? I think it was.
If it's antithetical to the Constitution and if it shows the overreach of the police state, yeah, I think so.
So I think, although the administration and governments aren't going to look at it this way, some leaks are necessary.
That's right.
But this needs to be, this is an issue that needs to be taken care of, immediately, because with these leaks, somehow it gives a weird credibility to what we've been seeing in the news about these anonymous sources and others saying that they're leaking certain things like, the Comey memo or, this Russian narrative. They're playing into the leaks, even though the leaks don't seem to be, they're not related to the Russian narrative, because there's nothing that can be leaked that would prove anything, because there's no evidence in the first place. But with these leaks, especially during the Trump administration, with all these holes in the administration, with all the enemies from within, it is undermining the presidency and affecting his ability to do his job, just as much as the media pushing fake narratives is. So this is something that can be stopped and should be stopped immediately. Switching gears here, I wanted to make sure we touched on this. Yesterday, there's been a lot in the news about this. The Montana governor race is
body
today.
Slammed.
And this is in a, I forget what the exact term is, not an emergency election, but this is because the person who was in the seat in Montana got moved to the Trump administration. So in North Carolina, I believe, was where they did one. And
this is like the third iteration of the Montana
right,
election.
When people are appointed who are already elected officials from within the government, you have to hold elections for the filling of the vacancies of those appointments.
And Montana is one of those strange states that does this.
And so yesterday, there was an issue, violence, I guess you could say, a body slam. It's actually on tape. It's not as bad as I made it sound. About this governor, this candidate for governor in Montana, who body slammed or scuffled with a reporter.
And you know what, Joe? I heard the audio from that.
I watched the video and heard the audio.
Right. And if this Republican, it doesn't matter if he's a Republican, Democrat, Independent, Purple, Green, Blue, if what I heard, if he did what he did, based on what I heard, then you know what? Shame on him. And he doesn't have the demeanor or doesn't have the disposition to be in power or to hold office. That's what I think.
Well, I haven't read the witness statements because I heard a few of them change their stories. They said he was punched, and you look at the video.
You don't touch someone else.
From reading the candidate's side of it was from his press secretary. They say he was in a private room in the campaign office, giving an interview to another journalist. Well, this other journalist comes in, starts shoving a microphone in his face and you know, demanding his questions be answered. Which,
well,
whatever.
Regardless, look, I'm not going to punch anyone unless I'm punched. I'm not going to body slam anyone unless they body slam me first. You know, yeah, I'm going to respond. Yeah, and this is all to me. This is all child's crap to me. Now, this is a diversion from news only, but it does show one thing. This does do, in my view, it shows the lack of civility among the people out there, and that's the worth of this story.
Well, and also the media's response.
That too. Yes.
MSNBC host: how much blame does Trump get for Montana incident?
Really? Well, and there it is. Trump is blamed for creating this environment.
Right. CNN and MSNBC have jumped on this, and the MSNBC anchor Craig Melvin naturally assumed President Trump deserved blame for the Montana congressional candidate Greg Gannafort assaulting a reporter. And how much blame should President Trump get, considering some of the rhetoric that we've heard from his president, from this president, and well before he was president, from the candidate himself? What they take issue with, they say that he created some kind of atmosphere of hostility against journalism and journalists, if they even can call themselves that.
Yeah, exactly.
That led to this, you know, atmosphere where violence is okay against reporters. But all that's nonsense, and I just wanted to point that out. Back to the leaks real quick, because I found the story I was looking for.
Go ahead.
Leaks that I would say are acceptable. There's a story on Drudge that we talked about yesterday that's back up there under another publication today. Declassified memo shows FBI illegally shared spy data on Americans with private parties. Declassified memos show the FBI illegally shared spy data on Americans with private parties.
Well, see, no, that's really illegal.
Right.
So, absolutely, especially if you're not going to get the desired look.
In this perfect paragraph, the FBI has illegally shared raw intelligence about Americans with unauthorized third parties, violating other constitutional privacy protections, according to new declassified government documents.
Right, exactly.
That undercuts the Bureau's public awareness about how carefully it handles warrantless spy data to avoid abuses or leaks. In his final congressional testimony before he was fired, James Comey unequivocally told lawmakers his agency used sensitive espionage data gathered about Americans without a warrant only when it was lawfully correct and carefully overseen and checked. Well, there was no lawfully collecting
this data. And we saw this since 2005 forward, but especially under Obama, we saw this. The intelligence agency has been out of control spying on everybody. This has been anti-constitutional. This has been a violation of our 4th, 5th, name the amendments, okay? This is in violation of our civil rights, just as the TSA stuff is. But my question to everyone is...
Which is expanding.
Are you going to... The next time you fly, are you going to put up a fuss? Are we going to do something about this? Now is the time to draw a line in the sand. We must push back. By the way, I want to just double back to... because this does kind of connect.
No, go ahead.
You know, the Gateway Pundit, the Daily Caller, all of these publications are talking about House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi arrogantly dodging questions from a reporter asking why the Pakistani IT staffer under investigation by U.S. Capitol Police for cybersecurity breaches still has a role as an advisor. Folks, we need to flood these cretins in the Capitol. Nancy Pelosi, we need to demand answers from her and others associated with her, the congressional leaders. Why in the world are we allowing these Pakistani moles, in my view, to get in there and to share intelligence information that has the potential or has already killed troops in our country? This is treason. So going back to what you just heard, George Webb, you just heard from George Webb and Dr. Jerome Corsi saying, look, here is the raw investigative data. We have done the investigation for you. There is a fox in this hen house, many foxes, and there is treason and seditious activity going on, and no one is holding anyone accountable. This is where we all come in. Under this new mandate, what are we going to do? We're not going to sit back here and just yip and yap and complain. No, we have to take action. How we take action, and this is why we're getting blowback right now, because believe me, nobody likes any of this. This is making a lot of people nervous. Liz Crokin, Alicia Powell asking questions about Seth Rich murder, George Webb, Dr. Corsi talking about the Awan brothers, all of this, and the Seth Rich murder, and Eric Braverman, and all of the other parts to this. Okay, we need to start asking questions or demanding answers to the questions that are being asked. Debbie Wasserman Schultz, key figure in this, notified that, folks, do me a favor. And this, I'm going to shut up because I'm losing my voice at this point, but here's what everyone needs to do. You heard history tonight, in my opinion. You heard history. Between Liz Crokin and Alicia Powell, George Webb and Dr. Corsi. That's just a tremendous program. Take the link to this program, and I will tonight, after the program ends, I will segment this out. Yeah, send a Daily Caller, send a Gateway Pundit, post it on George Webb's channel, post it on social networking. Don't let this die. Do not let this die. Do not squander this opportunity. We need your help. And by the way, we don't ask, but I'm asking now. If you've ever considered providing us financial support, we can use it now, because all of our assets are out there. I said assets, by the way. All of our assets are out there working. We're out there working when we're not on air. We are playing supportive roles in things that we can't even tell you about. So if you have the inclination, certainly support us. We humbly ask you that. And if you can't do that, then we ask you to pray. And at the very least, tell others about this program. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Subscribe to our social networking. Elevate our visibility so we can help others. I think we've demonstrated the fact that we are helping others.
And just for those,
with that, I'm going to sign off. I'm going to kick it over to you.
Just for the people who are listening who might not be or have not watched on YouTube, because I've seen a number of emails that say your show is too long to go through the whole show every day. You know, I don't have 3 hours a day. There's a few things you can do. If you download the podcast, there's a feature in iTunes that lets you speed the audio up, you know, 1.5 times, 2 times. And some people will get through the show by listening with the sped up version. And also on YouTube, what we've been doing for a while now is not only just posting the 3-hour show on YouTube, but each night the video is segmented. Just an example, tonight, you know, there'll be a piece segmented from the first segment, 7 to 7:30. There'll be a piece with John B. Wells. There'll be a piece segmented from the Liz Crokin, Alicia Powell interview. There will be the 1 hour or however long piece of George Webb. Everything's still in the 3-hour video, and each individual guest has however long they're on is on there separately. All you do is go to our YouTube channel and click on videos, and you will see, you know, every day there's multiple videos that go up, and that all stems from, most of that stems from the 3-hour show being segmented. You just got to know who you're looking for and possibly the date or the relative date.
Thank you for that. By the way, so I said I was going to sign off. I am right after this.
Mm-hmm.
Look, I don't agree with George Webb's politics. I'm not a Bernie supporter. He is. But it doesn't matter. See, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter because we're all on the side of truth. We'll argue about politics when the last dog is hung and people are in jail, right? We'll deal with that later. But this is a reality. This transcends, truth transcends politics. What, he likes Maxine Waters, Robert David still likes Maxine Waters. I don't think she's worth anything. So, we have disagreements. But, if you're a cop or been a cop, yeah, chances are maybe your partner was, as a cop, maybe your partner was a different political party. But he's still got your back in the case of a shootout. That's the way it is here. Alright, good night, God bless, Joe.
All right, we have a few minutes left. I want to touch on this story, and hopefully we get more information about this. This is a pretty interesting, if what I'm reading is actually the way it went down. But Milo Yiannopoulos and Pamela Geller led a protest against the Sunny, CUNY commencement speaker, Linda Sarsour, turns violent. Now, this is what the article states, and this is on Drudge and also the New York Daily News. A rally against CUNY's School of Public Health commencement speaker ended in violence Thursday when demonstrators clashed with counter-protesters. The scuffle broke out after an unlikely band of protesters, including conservative provocateur Pam Geller, Assemblyman Dov Hickend, and alt-right bad boy Milo Yiannopoulos, blasted CUNY's decision to select civil rights activist Linda Sazor. Now, she's not a civil rights activist. She's a terrorist sympathizer. The small group of demonstrators chanting Make America Great Again surrounded the roughed up 19-year-old counter-protester Heather Morris. Anyway, I don't know what actually happened, but the Heather Morris, who is one of the counter-protesters, as they're putting it, says, "Oh, they're a bunch of Nazis. They targeted me because I'm young and I'm brown." But no arrests were made. And this is a tactic that these people on the left have been using. We've seen, Milo himself, the violent riots that happened in Berkeley when he went there to speak. We saw Ann Coulter not being able to speak due to, you know, protests and a concern for her safety. And that was secondary to the university not wanting her to be able to give the speech. But this is what we have to do. And I'm not talking about the violence. I'm talking about showing up and protesting. As, you know, we saw just this last week what Mike Pence giving the commencement speech in Notre Dame. A number of students turned their back on him and walked out. And one of the great points I heard about that was, you know, this was all on video, and these people who walked out, they're graduating from college to go look for employment. And, you know, is this something that employers will find and maybe determine that these people aren't people that they should hire if they're so easily offended or, get triggered by the presence of somebody they disagree with or an opposing viewpoint? It seems that these universities continue to pander to these social justice warriors, political correctness, and, you know, whatever, it's college. But it's not setting people up to be able to be successful in life, because nowhere in life, in the real world, are you going to be able to go somewhere and every time you're offended, find a safe space, you know, cry, melt down, say you're triggered, and have your feelings hurt. In everyday life, your feelings are going to be hurt on a regular basis. You got to develop the tough skin and learn how to deal with it. And political correctness really is killing people at this point. I don't know how many people saw the reactions on mainstream media from European media and our own media here, from MSNBC to ABC to even Twitter. People were more concerned after the Manchester attack about hurting the sensibilities of Muslims rather than the victims that were killed in those attacks. Absolute insanity. You have 22 many children killed and 50 or more people wounded, but you're worried that anti-Muslim speech or Islamic backlash, you know, that's the biggest concern. There's obviously a huge disconnect and major problems with that mindset. We've reached the end of the show. Don't forget, tomorrow we have a fantastic show lined up. Randall Terry will be our guest for a half hour in our second segment, 7:30 to 8:00. And then Pastor David Langford and Steve Quayle will be with us from 8 to 10 tomorrow evening. Don't miss that show. It'll be fantastic. Want to thank John B. Wells. Want to thank Liz Croken and Alicia Powell. Want to thank John and Eve Gonzalez and George Webb and Jerome Corsi for tonight's show. That'll do it for us tonight. Until tomorrow, stay safe. God bless. Have a great evening.